Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 457.
This week on the podcast, Trump is looking forward to being arrested to jumpstart his lackluster campaign.
And Marianne Williamson has been mean since at least 2003, so what else you got, Politico?
Plus, George Santos takes his first step towards a potential second run.
And surprise, we're in the K-Hive now.
Plus, the Nebraska legislature is treated to a surprise retelling of the movie Madagascar.
And will the LAUSD strikers have the courage to burn garbage piles like the French?
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey y'all, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
Yes,
today,
indeed.
We have updates on elections, the
so
people who
elections.
Run in them.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's lots of ridiculous election news this
week.
Well,
that's week, the best kind.
And then that's ridiculous non-election news. Almost none of the news is normal this
week.
That's
what we revel in.
That's right.
It's our specialty.
It's because it's a ridiculous news week, we're going to begin with a story that we probably should have ended on, which is, will Donald Trump be arrested this week?
He thinks yes.
He thinks yes. He's sort of excited about it. He's sort of acting like it's a campaign stunt.
Right.
Because his own people are like, I don't know if he's going to be arrested. And he's like out here putting out statements about how they're going to arrest him on Tuesday or whatever.
Right, asking his protesters, his supporters to protest and take back our nation.
That's right.
Which is maybe not what you want him telling people.
It's never what you want him telling people. But I do feel that a lot of those people got indicted and probably are not that excited to participate in round two.
Right. The Proud Boys are no longer standing down and standing by because they're in prison.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like anyone who didn't get caught the first time probably doesn't want to risk it this time. I mean, that's not what you want.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. There's a lot of idiots left.
There is one thing, though, that I think about this, which is, so this is about the hush money
yeah,
payments
this is Stormy
to Stormy
Daniels.
We're still on Stormy Daniels. But because this is about the Stormy Daniels case, a case where already members of his staff and representatives have gone to jail. So, like,
yeah.
This is not a case that Americans are unfamiliar with. It would be one thing if it was, like, a bogus charge in a case no one knew the details of.
Yeah.
It's another when it's a case we've all been following avidly for, like, the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone knows literally every detail of. I mean, there's, like, the Michael Avenatti, whatever era.
That's right.
There's, like, so many eras.
Also in jail. Not
different,
for being involved with Donald Trump.
Different
story. Something entirely different.
Right. Like, Michael Cohen went to jail over this. Like, everyone's already been to jail.
Remember when we thought Michael Avenatti was going to run for president in 2020?
Yes. Yes. That's 3 years ago, Brent.
I know.
4 years ago, probably, that we were thinking that. That's how long this case has been in the public ether, which is why I think that if he could convince his supporters that, like, it was a witch hunt because they had drummed up charges or blah, 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 then that would be one thing. These are not drummed up charges. People have repeatedly gone to jail over this case. And everybody knows all the details of it. Like, trying to convince us that these are drummed up charges and we need to take our nation back.
I know.
Over a case where you, like, paid off, like, a sex scandal, you, like, paid somebody off.
A porn star in a sex,
no.
And of course, I think we've said this on the podcast before, but, like, you know, we like to talk. I feel like we've been doing it a lot recently in various things. Like, you know, we can use our imagination and our common sense that, like, obviously this is the thing that he did. And it's if it's illegal,
sure,
then
it.
We know for sure that he was most certainly paying hush money to porn stars. Because what else was he doing?
Porn stars told us about it.
So, like, you know, it's not one of those. It's harder. It's almost harder for his supporters to, I mean, they'll get mad about anything, but, like, the other things that he's being investigated for, right? Like, the Georgia grand jury heard some things this week. Like, that they can get mad about because that's about election fraud and they still believe the election was stolen.
Right.
But making payments to porn stars is trickier for them to sort of find a way out of because, like, it's not a conspiracy theory in the way that they think election fraud is a conspiracy theory.
It's also a case that predates the election.
Totally.
So there's no election had been stolen at the time that this case started rolling.
Yeah.
Like, that rhymed. I should make that my...
Yeah.
I think I should become a lawyer in this case just so that I can come up with snappy slogans.
I like it. But in regard to that Georgia case, we also found out that there was another phone call that he made, a threatening phone call, this time to the Speaker of the House, trying to get him to have a special legislative session to come back and overturn the election.
You guys, if you polled the politicians of Georgia, I bet you would find like 60,000 of every single person in Georgia state government heard from him.
Yeah, they all got a personal phone call from
him.
Yeah, from
DC. That's what he was doing. He wasn't doing any policy work. I mean, we know that.
No, certainly
not. But I mean, this is the kind of thing where, like, the Election fraud cases are getting harder for him messaging-wise, because the more that it's clear that he was threatening everyone, the more desperate he looks. So even though maybe, like, you know, he's going to have a core of supporters who will believe anything and always feel that they're the victim and whatever. And you can't do anything about those people. But what we are actually looking for is rank-and-file Republicans and conservative-leaning nutzos to kind of decide that he's not the nutso for them. They're more DeSantis people or, you know, something like that. Like, we're looking to sort of split that vote.
Did you just say DeSantis?
DeSantis people. Ron DeSanctimonious.
Thank you. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my God. I can't believe myself. But, I mean, like, if we're looking for how this plays out from an electoral standpoint, I don't fucking care that there's, like, a small core of people that will always love Donald Trump.
No.
That's of no interest.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. But there are people that are supporting all sorts of film franchises I don't think are real. There's a lot more, you know, there are a lot more fans of The Bachelor than I would hope for. I mean, that's out. People are disappointing, and you can't help that.
That's so true.
But what we're looking for is the kind of people that would vote for Donald Trump to be outnumbered by the kind of people that wouldn't in a Republican primary.
Right.
And I, like, some of those people will be DeSanctimonious fans, and that's fine.
They will.
And some of those people will be Nikki Haley fans, and that's mm-hmm. fine. Like, you know, these people have a lot of places to go at this point.
Yeah.
And I would say that Ron DeSanctimonious is actually, like, out Donald Trumping Donald Trump in this moment in terms of the sort of, like, political identity that he has. So there's plenty of places for those people to go. But, like, I just don't, the more that the election fraud thing looks bogus, and the more that he's being arrested over hush payments to porn stars as opposed to anything having to do with the election, just, like, the more those people are going to quiet quit on him, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, like,
yeah.
That's
quiet quit. That's quiet what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't feel like this is good for his brand, even though he's using it as a campaign.
Right. Exactly.
Being the victim forever gets old after a while. Totally. After you've been the president, it's like, you got to stop being
the
victim.
He promised us winning.
He's promised us, and this is the loseriest move I've ever heard, announcing he's going to be elected. He needs us to rise up for him.
Yeah, that's not
he's
winning.
He's not rich and famous that's and smart enough to get out of this himself.
Yeah.
He needs me, a random American citizen, to intervene. It's outrageous.
Somebody else who's running for president this week, well, Marianne Williamson. She's been running for a minute. But there was a political expose this week, if you can call it an expose, because it's something that the entire internet and our hearts have known since the beginning of time. We wrote about it when we wrote our candidate blog about her. And I have one sort of specific thing to say about it, and then I'll tell you why. But the main thing is that this article is that she's mean.
Yeah.
Right? She's mean to her staff.
Yeah.
And I would like to be on record as saying I do not care.
I would contend that probably almost anyone that runs for president is mean, first.
That's one of the reasons, for sure. Like, don't write that about her, because they're all mean. Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're mean to their staffs.
Yeah.
Like, I think we can all, again, use our imagination.
No sane person wants to be the president.
Right.
You got to be a little mean.
You got to be a little mean.
Yeah.
Secondarily, I have not really seen any articles about the male candidates being mean.
Of course not. We got a
good one about Amy Klobuchar in 2020 about how she was terribly mean. But I just, you're not going to get an article about, like, Cory Booker being mean.
No.
And, like, he's probably been mean. I know everybody likes to think that he's nice, but, like,
he
there's no way.
He snubbed me in a handshake line.
Well, there you go.
Cory
Booker.
That was pretty
mean.
Rude. That's right.
But then, lastly, and because of that, because everyone is mean in politics, or we can imagine that they're mean in politics, what I would like to urge people to do when they're thinking about writing one of these stories is to only do it if there is a really quality anecdote in there.
If it's not funny, I don't want to hear about it.
Because all we learned in this article was that she makes her staff cry, that she gets mad if her hotel room doesn't have a bathtub in it, and she once got so mad that she hit her hand on a car and it hurt. None of those things are interesting. None of them are funny.
They're run-of-the-mill mean.
The Amy Klobuchar one, which you all know what we're talking about, but just to refresh your drink.
The salad comb.
She had to eat a salad with a comb because she got so mad at her staffers for not bringing her utensils to eat her salad with. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And if you don't have whatever that is about Marianne Williamson, I am most certainly not interested.
That special spark.
That's right.
But also, this is such a famous Marianne Williamson problem that it's actually why she lost her televangelist job back in, like, whatever, 2003. Anyway, this is for actual decades been part of the Marianne Williamson lore. And while I know that it got overshadowed by, like, Oprah loving her and her, you know, saying a bunch of cheesy nonsense to media. Like, famously, Marianne Williamson has been wrapped in scandals about how horrible she is to her staff since the word go, since she became a millionaire.
She's an internet guru businesswoman. Yeah. Like, what
of course, she's a horrible person.
She's going around and being nice to people?
No, obviously not. I heard that she was mean back in whatever year it was that my mom took the Nation cruise with her and got into an argument with her about abortions. We've all known she was mean.
Oh, I forgot about that. Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Carla Nordstrom, special guest.
Special guest next week.
Next week.
Stay tuned.
On the podcast.
We're going to be a day late on the podcast, but it's going to be a special one, so you're going to want to tune in.
But I just think that we can
Do better.
We can do better from these.
Also,
we can still, we can know that Marianne Williamson is mean and still vote for her in the primary. Which is what Brent Thornburg is going
to
be doing.
And we don't have to. Also, it's another thing that we could do. No, but I mean, like, also, if we were equal opportunity mean searchers, we would find way funnier shit that the male candidates are doing that's mean. But we're just not looking for it. Because the problem is, it's implied that men in politics are mean.
Totally.
We know they're mean.
Yeah.
They're probably doing all sorts of insane shit.
Especially harassing people?
Oh, my God. All over the place. But they're probably doing funny mean stuff, too. And we're probably just not talking about it because we're like, well, of course they're mean. They have to be. It's politics.
Right.
Women have to be mean in politics, too.
Totally.
Even ridiculous televangelist internet gurus.
That's right.
I mean, everyone's in on the game.
Yeah.
In any case, I agree with you. And I also feel that what your revelations here have taught me is that there's probably like a treasure trove of hilarious mean candidate articles that no one has written.
I agree.
Because we don't think that like John Delaney being mean is a story.
Right. And like, oh, he's a mean person.
Of course he's a mean person. There's nobody on earth who's more of an asshole, I'm sure, than John Delaney.
Yeah.
Like, right? I want to hear that story.
I want to hear that story too. And if anybody has them about Marianne Williamson, then I'll listen to them too.
Of course. But a funny story about someone being
just
mean.
Just don't come at me with like, she made people cry.
No. Did she throw something funny at you? You know, did she exclaim something hilarious in the middle of what wasn't a crisis?
Right. Like,
there's a lot of ways to have a funny, mean person crisis.
I suppose Marianne Williamson being this mean about anything in a race where she was getting like 0.01% of the vote, I guess, is sort of in itself hilarious.
That's true. Yeah, the larger story. So the broad strokes of the story are pretty hilarious.
But yeah, I need anecdotes, people.
Yeah.
So Politico.
Funny anecdotes.
Funny anecdotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Much like what Joe Exotic is aiming to provide for us. Joe Exotic announced he was running for president this week, you guys.
Yep, posted and is officially. Posted a picture of his filing papers.
Now, he posted that picture from jail.
Yeah.
Where he currently is.
And you're allowed to run for president from jail.
He made sure we knew that in his announcement.
Yep.
He is also going to be in jail for quite a while since he's serving 21 years. And was only convicted in 2019. So a Twitter user asked him why he's running, since it's unlikely he'll win. Uh-huh. And he said, it's not about winning or losing. It's about making changes. Mm.
How is he replying to tweets?
It's all I've been thinking about since I read this.
Okay, great. Good. Okay.
He also said in the announcement, this is a word salad and I'm sorry about it. I'm not going to be able to read this in a way that makes sense, but it's not because I don't make sense. It's because the paragraph doesn't. I am here because I have a world platform. Mm-hmm. Does he have a world platform?
Sure,
or is he just a Netflix star? Anyway, to make these politicians listen to your and my concerns and give us some answers for once. Because all they do is lie to all of us, take our hard-earned money, calling it taxes, and give it away to foreign countries without them giving us anything back.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I have so many questions about where he gets his news.
Is he just like a couple years behind or something?
I said, all they do is they make you pay taxes and they just give it away to foreign governments.
I mean,
that's one thing, I guess.
I know.
And what is he? He's not proposing we do anything about it. He's just raising awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some congressional race news. The first being that George Santos has filed his statement of candidacy with the FEC for 2024.
Yeah.
So there's a chance he'll run again. Now, listen. I remember when we reported that Dianne Feinstein had filed hers for 2024 back in 2020.
Right.
So this doesn't mean everything. This is just
anybody
a paper. Intention to run.
As we learned in our last story about Joe Exotic, we now know that anybody can run for anything.
That's right. And filing with the FEC, filing a statement of candidacy isn't actually declaring candidacy. Mm-hmm. It's just filing a thing that's like, I might run.
Right.
So we don't know what this will mean.
Right.
But what we hope is that it means that he's embroiled in the most dramatic and exciting both primary and general election that the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
That's what I hope for us and him.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have an update on our own congressional seat because mayhem.
Mayhem.
Literal mayhem.
I felt like I had been vaguely paying attention to what was going on in the we this all is thought 30th. That. This is Adam Schiff's current district that he's not running for in 2024. You know, maybe a girl this week tweeted something about like, oh, it's finally, how come none of the other 11 candidates running for CA 30 are talking about this or something? I think it was in regards to like trans ban or something like that. And you and I were both immediately like, come again, 11?
Yeah.
There are 11 declared candidates.
11 declared candidates.
10 in... Democrats.
Well, of course.
Yes, obviously.
Of course, to declare as a Democrat in California, you don't have to be anything approaching being a Democrat. You declare as a Democrat so people will vote for you.
That's right.
It's not a party affiliation.
Right, that's how we ended up almost having a what's-his-nuts as our mayor.
Yeah, Rick Caruso, a Republican.
Who changed his party identification before he filed to run for mayor.
If you want to win an election in California, you're running as a Democrat. Right. You're not a fool.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are 11 people running, including WeHo City Council member Seppi Shine.
That's the one I was sort of like surprised
which
at.
I was surprised I we didn't no know idea. About that. No, I'm say. Not surprised people in Glendale don't know about that.
Why would they?
But I was asked by former podcast guest Sasha Mizell who Seppi Shine was, because she doesn't live in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't know Seppi Shine? She's West Hollywood City Council member. Right. And she was like, why is she emailing me constantly? And I was like, what is it about? I was like, she's running for Congress? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ben Savage, we talked about that already.
Yeah, we talked about
Ben
Savage.
I mean, he got like 19th place in the WeHo City Council race. So I'm not terribly concerned about him as a candidate. Running as a Democrat.
Of course he's running as a Democrat. All he cares about is making sure that we get the homeless off the streets and increase the police force. So yeah. Why not run as a Democrat in that case?
Sure. I mean, listen, he's taking his lead from the president.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, that one was interesting because that announcement I heard people from outside of California were texting me about.
Yeah.
And they were like, what do you think about this? And I was like, this fool?
We've been down this road
who
already.
Already failed to be in the city council in West Hollywood, which honestly isn't that hard. This is a race that's being determined by a guy who writes a ridiculous guide about people having winning charisma and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
The Larry Block WeHoville guide is like the only information anyone has about these candidates. So like, let's not worry too much about how hard it is to be on the city council in LA. Meanwhile, somehow that made national news. So
yeah,
I don't
Seppi
worry
Shine.
About it, but I do worry about it.
Yeah.
I worry about
it. She
all
also,
of this.
We just elected her in 20, was it 2022 or was it 2020? 2020.
It might have been 2020.
It was 2020.
Yeah, because I think
but
we
even so.
Re-elected her
yeah.
since. But I mean, this is somebody with like 3 years of political experience in the WeHo City Council, which is barely a governing
there
body.
Still has yet to be a name swoop in here, which I find to be a little interesting. I mean, I know it's still early
this.
In the game, but like it's.
I think that if you are the name and you're like,
you come in at the end. You're like, I'm here to save everyone from these 12 goons.
So I think Maybe a Girl announced first because.
And I don't think Maybe's a goon, by the way.
No.
That was a blanket statement just sort of like for the 11 people that like I don't even have not even heard of.
But I think the reason that Maybe announced so early is because she wanted to get a news cycle before whoever swooped in.
Oh, that was smart.
Which was smart. The rest of these people haven't even gotten a news cycle, so no one even knows they're running, aside from Ben Savage, only because he was the star of Boy Meets World and no other reason. And so I feel like the party pick is going to swoop in at the end.
Yeah, at the end.
So we probably won't know who the party pick is until late this year, early next.
Yeah.
Because it's congressional. They don't need to run for 2 years.
They don't need to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So maybe
and they'll be well funded because
maybe
the
one
DNC
of us will
be
the party pick.
we
just
be.
Don't know it yet.
We won't be.
It's too bad, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, we won't be.
I'd be a great party pick in the sense that I would be great, but not because I would be a good party member.
Yeah.
So in any case, that's the election news this week. We also have a continuing update in the Veep come to life saga of Kamala Harris, which you probably saw this Colbert clip with her that. Is she doing a bit?
I just don't think that she is, which is unfortunate.
Does being the vice president do this to you?
I think maybe it does, because she really, I feel like, has lost the plot. This is a person who is not stupid and has been charismatic on television in years past.
Also, Brent and I, we were just talking about how we've seen her speak in person before when she was running for Senate several times.
Great.
And she couldn't have made more sense.
No.
She was able
using all the right words.
To use words, the sentences.
The best words.
The best
she
words.
Had the best right? words.
Sentences were making sense. They had a beginning, middle, and end.
Somebody
you could
might ask
her
a question.
She would answer it.
That she would have an answer for.
Yeah.
We've seen her eviscerate people on the intelligence.
That's right.
A judiciary.
The judiciary, yeah.
Committee. This woman is obviously sharp.
Yes.
Right?
And it's like, you would think that she has had her brain literally
like she got
removed.
Exactly. She got a lobotomy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if it's just that she's being put in situations where this is the only possible outcome. Because I would contend this situation reads to me as a situation she could have been in control of. And we'll tell you, in case you live under a rock. Basically, so we talked last week about the Willow oil drilling project that the Biden administration just approved, which is controversial. It's like one of the largest oil developments on federal land ever.
And he said during his campaign,
that there
numerous
would be
times that there would be
no new oil drilling on federal land. That was a promise of his, and so he's violated that promise. And environmental groups are pissed. And
I think some are suing him actually.
Well, they should. It's a bullshit thing. In any case,
it's a bullshit thing.
But in any case, so Kamala Harris goes on Colbert.
Colbert, right? By the way. She wasn't on 60 Minutes.
Right. No, exactly. She goes on Colbert. She's not even on MSNBC. She's on Colbert.
Yeah.
The Late Show.
Yeah.
She's on Jay Leno or whatever.
Yeah. Although I would contend if you're a mainstream Democrat, you're probably more likely to be asked a hard-hitting question by Colbert than are by Joy Reid.
That couldn't be truer. But they willingly put her on Colbert. A show that is broadcast into millions of homes across America that don't care at all about politics. Yeah. And we don't know, and Brent and I had a slight, not argument about this because no one was arguing, but we were wondering whether she intended to go on and just have like a friendly visit or intended to go on to sell the Willow drilling project to America. Either way, she's asked about it by Colbert. There are protesters outside.
Right.
People are riled up. And her answer is like a word salad of the highest order. In a context, she knew that she might be asked about this because she lives in society and she has a full staff of people whose job it is to help her message on things
like this. That's the thing. Like what we were arguing about, air quotes arguing about, was whether she knew that she was going to be asked about that and didn't have a good answer, which is unacceptable.
Right.
Or whether her staff just hates her so much that they didn't prepare her with a good answer, or they weren't able to know that Colbert was going to ask for that. Because if you're going on a late night show, you can usually control that narrative, right?
Like, if you're the vice president?
You're the vice president, your staffers go to Colbert and be like, she's not trying to talk about the Willow Project tonight. And then Colbert says, okay, I won't ask her about the Willow Project. And then they go on.
A random PR person gets that kind of control over the Colbert questions.
Yeah. So either scenario, whether her staffers didn't make sure that she wasn't going to be asked or whether she didn't have a good answer, both of those scenarios are not acceptable. Because the answer is as follows.
Yeah.
The concerns are based on what we should all be concerned about, but the solutions have to be and include what we are doing in terms of going forward. And now I would like to say something. That's a Selena Meyer sentence. And I will give you that there are sometimes, because the first thing that I did immediately was watch the clip.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can see a word salad of an answer written out. And you're like, well, that makes no sense and like doesn't have anything to do with anything. And then you watch the clip and you can sort of like, infer some things from contexts and sort of watch.
Maybe a sentence starts and then she tries to go back and start again.
Went on and maybe she was asked it in a weird way and maybe there was like additional context that we didn't hear from the end of the answer. This is not that.
No. This is a sentence that doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
That also means nothing.
That's right.
That was said by the Vice President of the United States.
Yeah.
A person who has previously been known to say words normally.
Yeah.
Not recently, though.
Not recently. Not for a while. Remember when she got asked about going to the border and she hadn't been there and she said, I also haven't been to Europe.
I'm embarrassed about the fact that now when I hear her name, the first thing I think of is her singing the wheels on the bus to a bus. Like, that's what's going on with her right now. And here's the thing about her and the situation she's in, because I would contend, having also watched the television show Veep, that a lot of the time the vice president gets put in impossible situations. She was handed every account that was unsolvable when she first took this job.
Right, exactly.
It's, the whole job of the VP is to sort of like block for the president.
Right.
So like you often get put in just like shitty situations where you end up being asked questions no one wants you to answer and you have to deflect and no one's giving you guidance and it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
That's partly why you have a staff.
Right.
But also...
been a lot of turnover in that staff. Part of the reason why she may have been...
That happened in her campaign too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Part of the reason why she may have just been unprepared for this is because she just doesn't have staff anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe our next Sally Ford story will be the Kamala Harris story. But
well, we've heard that too, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Well, that's, not the Sally Ford version, boring version.
The boring version of it. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why her campaign staff turnover was so high.
Totally.
Yeah. But it just feels like if you were a smart politician in this moment, which she used to be, there would be moments, especially like this is a unique situation. You have what might be a one-term president because he's 1 billion years old. Mm-hmm. So there's an opening where you could maybe even run for president again.
Yeah.
You have an administration that has a really old school approach to messaging in a situation where you are much younger and sort of like connected to society theoretically than they are. I think that there are times where you can say no. In this context,
right.
She has a lot more leverage than I think vice presidents often do just because of the fragility of the Biden experience here.
Yeah.
And not because he's necessarily doing any worse than any other president has ever done, just because he's so fucking old.
Yeah.
And there is actual talk that he might not run again. But that's a legitimate thing that people are talking about.
Yeah.
If that's the situation that you're in, like, you have some leverage as the vice president.
Use the power that you have.
Use the power that you have. And this is, I think, what ultimately has frustrated me about her both as a senator and certainly as a VP, is she is not courageous. She puts herself in situations where courage, which I know she theoretically could possess because she sometimes dips her toe in and then backs out, like would be a huge help to her personally. And I would contend in this situation, her having some courage would actually be a help to all of us in society.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like she's being treated by the administration in this sort of like weird paternalistic kind of like, you know, way.
Well,
and she's just folded under the pressure. And also, whoever has encouraged her to adopt the mannerisms of a 2008 Hillary Clinton campaign needs to be thrown into a sack in a river. Like, that person has ruined the chance of a woman ever becoming the president by just taking every high profile female politician and making them into a like someone with like a hyena laugh who like doesn't know how to use words anymore and can't relate to people and can't answer questions.
Yeah.
And that is all in the name of her likability. All of these behavioral changes that we saw between when she was running for her first Senate race or running in her first Senate race and now have all followed the exact track of the 2008 Hillary Clinton experience.
Yeah.
And like, Hillary Clinton toned that down in 2016.
Yeah.
That's how she became our candidate. I know she didn't win. I have a lot of thoughts on that. She runs a terrible campaign. She can't help that. But I mean, like, 2008 Hillary Clinton was like a wild person. A wild persona, I'll say. Like, this Kamala Harris persona of late is like right in that, is like in that mold. And like, why?
I know.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. You said something interesting that I do want to go back to just before we leave the story, because I do think that this could be part of what's going on with her. And I feel like she could just generally be doing it better. But, you know, you talked about, you know, the Biden sort of way being, you know, very sort of like staid and, you know, old school. And I think part of at least sometimes how she ends up with these answers that are crazy is because she probably would have preferred to actually have answered that question.
Of course.
And I think she has probably been told
that she can't.
That she can't. And that she needs to go on. She probably literally got told, go on and say
nothing.
Something but nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And she just...
That feels
some people are good at that. Like, there are...
Yeah.
That, politicians are doing that daily.
Pete
every
Buttigieg
time they
kill
put
it at this.
Every time politicians have a camera in front of their face, they're sort of like laughingly known for like saying something but nothing. But not all of them say something but nothing and sound like the most ridiculous person on earth. And that's the problem that she herself is running into.
No, I think you're right. And also, I think that this is a little bit of a failing of the larger Biden administration, because knowing she doesn't have that skill is part of their job. Like,
totally. Send her some people.
Send her some people. And also have surrogates do this if it's not, if it can't be heard.
I was going to say, because like, you're absolutely right. Pete Buttigieg could have given an answer about why we're drilling in the Arctic.
It has nothing to do with him.
He had nothing to do with him, but he would have loved it.
Yeah, he would have eaten that opportunity up. Yeah. And I think, you know, the reason they should know that not every Veep can be this person is because Joe Biden wasn't given these opportunities because everything he says is a fucking word salad.
Right.
You know, we were talking about why is it that Joe Biden didn't get remembered this way? Because this seems to be a trap that the
people remember him as a great vice president.
All he did was smile in aviators to cameras.
Yeah.
Every time he opened his mouth, it was a disaster. That's why they stopped letting him talk.
But even he went, and now I think a lot of people would probably contend that he was told that it was okay to do this, but like even he sort of like got a lot of, not flack, I mean, got a lot of support really, but like for saying too early that he was in favor of gay marriage.
Right.
Like he was, so like, do you know what I mean? Like that was seen as sort of like a bold thing that like went against what the administration wanted. Now we can again debate whether that was actually
planned or not.
Planned or not. But I do think that like she needs a moment like that. And look, they could plan that for her. You know what I mean? Like they should
use your strategy
do politics better.
Do politics better. Actually,
that's what we're asking. That really the core of what we're asking here is for them to just be doing politics better.
This has actually been an interesting conversation because I think I've just done a full 180 on Kamala Harris in the course of this discussion.
None of this is her fault.
None of this is her fault. The Biden administration should know that she can't give these kinds of answers and should be giving her things she can do instead of making her look like a fool in public constantly.
Totally.
We remember when she was doing her own thing and wasn't looking like a fool.
Right.
And listen, I was mad at her all the time. So I'm not even here to say that I want prosecutors to be my senator.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, we don't think she's great.
Right, screw her. But I do think that she's like a coherent thinking person.
Right.
And this is like, she is currently just consistently being put in public to fail.
Yeah.
And like, if you have people who can do that on your payroll somewhere... Put them on Colbert to answer this stupid question.
Yeah.
But, like, they have an interior secretary.
I was going to say, send Deb Haaland.
Right? Like,
Isn't that who
it is? Deb Haaland. My guess is that
she might not be great at it either, but she's probably mad about it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't put her on television. Or do.
Do. No, I'm in favor. But I'm just saying, like, put any surrogate out there. There's no reason this had to be Kamala Harris.
Right.
But if it's something that Joe Biden himself can't explain... then she's probably not going to be able to talk herself out of that paper bag. So, like, don't ask her to.
Agreed.
Have her go and do something else.
Somebody who is talking their way out of a paper bag in a true heroic sort of way. We got a new American hero on our hands, guys.
A Nebraska resident of all places.
Never would have thought.
No.
State Senator Michaela Kavanaugh is filibustering this anti-trans bill in their state legislature. And she has been at it for... weeks.
She's basically filibustering their entire legislative session.
They have a 90-day legislative session. It is over halfway done, and not a single bill has passed that session because she has been filibustering. She had strep throat and she filibustered.
That's right.
They're changing the hours that they're open. They're only allowed to be eight hours, but they've worked through lunch a few days, basically just to sort of, I think, try and like throw people off the scent, essentially. And like, she's not having... one bit of it.
No.
At all. She's talking about her favorite Girl Scout cookies.
Sure.
She's talking about Omaha's best donuts. She went through the entire plot of the animated movie Madagascar.
At a certain point, you need content.
You need content. But she said, I love this. She's like, if this legislature collectively decides that legislating hate against children is our priority, then I'm going to make it painful. Painful for everyone. I will burn the session to the ground over this bill. Yes, ma'am. Do.
When, as Brent said, she's a mild-mannered Omaha mother. Basically.
You should absolutely watch clips of her doing this because, like, she will get herself worked up, and her being worked up is like when she said, "I will burn this session to the ground over this bill." You barely felt like she meant it because, I mean, she's like a Midwestern mother of three.
You gotta watch out for angry Midwestern people. They are really sneaky.
I was gonna say we sat in an entire roomful of them during the Iowa caucus.
That's
The Klobuchar people.
The Klobuchar people. Some of the angriest people I've ever met in my life. And I would say flawlessly polite in the meanest way until the very
end.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly right.
I mean, I feel like this is, I would love to do a filibuster study of different states' styles.
Oh, yeah.
I bet, and this is why I would like to encourage more people to do this.
Right.
Because I think when you sort of think about who has both the courage to filibuster for this long and also just the material, like, you're probably looking at a bunch of like moms on the legislature. You know, it's like Wendy Davis, you know, it's like people who are just like have had it up to here. But unlike men don't go and punch things, they just go and like try to burn the legislature to the ground by talking the whole time. But I also think that I bet like if you did this regionally, you would find a really exciting array of styles. I bet in the New York State Legislature, they would be hurling insults out. Yeah. You know, like it would be very confrontational. If they were doing this in the Pacific Northwest, they'd be really mean to each other. They'd be very cold seeming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the South, I bet that they would be jovial, great storytellers and having a great time the whole time. Like, I bet regionally this would look very different. So if your state is having an anti-trans bill, I think try it so that we can see.
Yeah,
let's
for sure.
do it for science.
Yeah. They have sort of a unique legislature there because it's a single chamber and there's 49 seats there. And it's also like officially nonpartisan, but it's like dominated by people who are registered Republicans. So in the of the 40, you can pass a bill there with a simple majority. So you could pass something 25 to 24. But to get it to overcome the filibuster, you need 33 votes. Interestingly, the makeup of that 49 seat legislature is 32 to 27. So if only one Democrat defects on it, then it's over. And I'm sure at some point some Democrat is going to be like, well, we really have to pass the state corporate tax cut. So we're going to have to like legislate hate against the trans kids. And that's just life. I'm sorry about it. Right. Like we need to just move on to other more important things. You know that there's somebody in Nebraska. Oh. I mean, there's somebody in California probably. There's certainly somebody in the Democratic Party who would be willing to throw trans kids under the bus.
Of course.
To pass something more important.
Right. Like tax cuts. I will say that in states where being a Democrat is hard work.
That's true.
And like Texas Democrats are like some of the most committed Democrats you'll ever find in your life because it sucks to be a Democrat.
I mean, they've been at it for 3 weeks, so maybe they're just going to let her roll with it.
I mean, I also...
Especially if they don't... If she's willing to do it themselves, like, they can sort of... On some level, the other 16 can hang her out to dry if they want.
I was going
to say. Well, it's just Michaela's fault. I don't know what to do.
We didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything.
We didn't want this.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
That's... Also, this is... It's so interesting to learn about how state legislatures are set up in other states. I remember when we went... You know, we went toward the Iowa state capitol. And we learned that they have, like, one staffer that sits at a filing cabinet next to them in the legislative chambers, basically.
Oh, yeah.
In the assembly there. Because they have, like, 1 billion state assembly members for a state with seven people in it. Because there's so many counties in Iowa. But, but like, the way that it's set up, it's, like, it's a part-time job. It doesn't really pay.
No.
And they have one staffer who sits next to them in the chamber because they don't have offices either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like... What a world.
I know.
There's places where they're only in session every other year.
Iowa is a state right now that needs to be filibustering some shit.
That's right.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. There seems to be a spread of bad ideas right now.
I know. I really feel like... I think that hopefully somebody can figure out how to tell this story holistically. Because I really think in 2024, you know, there's been... the state legislatures in this country are all over the place. But we saw... Michigan flip, right? And they have done all sorts of great work. You know, they got rid of the right to work laws. They, I think, like passed a, didn't they like put abortion into the constitution or something like that? You just saw Minnesota pass like free lunch for like all public school children, regardless of income, including they're going to pay for rich kids' school lunches in Minnesota.
The Pete Buttigieg talking point.
The Pete Buttigieg talking point about why nobody can have nice things. And I just think that like, there's an interesting story to tell, I think, with what's going on in some of the Democratic-held legislatures versus what's going on in all of these Republican-held legislatures that really feels like if you can figure out how to, like, show it to people and convince them, I feel like we could have a good state legislature year in 2024.
I agree.
Because this can't be what the people of Nebraska actually voted on to be happening.
Of course not. Well, and also...
You want to spend 90 days on making sure that trans kids, like...
Right, like, don't...
Commit suicide, essentially, because that's what'll happen.
Right. No, I think that one of the things that I think was sort of like a point of optimism in the state voting world that I think says to me that these kinds of bills actually end up backfiring almost always was the Kansas vote to protect abortion.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because that was a vote where the main, you know, the main talking point that they were using was that they're trying to take away your freedom.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of going on here. It's like...
Totally.
They're trying to take away your freedom to be trans. You don't have to be trans. Don't worry about it if you're not. You don't have to have an abortion. You don't have to do any of this.
Right.
But, like, these are inherently sort of anti-conservative they are. You know, positions ultimately, yeah. because they're all things that are designed to take away your freedom to do whatever is your business.
Right.
And I think that ultimately, like, that inconsistency does always catch up.
I agree.
And yeah. also, this is the number one way to make sure that being trans is your legal federal right for the rest of their lives. Yeah. I mean, it's like, how did we end up with gay marriage? No one needed to even talk about gay marriage except a bunch of states banned it. And then the federal government had to be like, fine, we'll right. all do it. Right. Like, that's yeah. like, don't put the federal government in a position where they need to protect people's rights by telling your state that they can't be mildly right. hateful if that's what you want.
Yeah.
That's such a dumb strategy. They so I learn. These things always backfire. And I think actually filibusters like this really help raise the sort of profile of an issue like this, but also create sort of like a new face on it that's helpful yeah. in those states, because instead of this just being like drag queens coming for everyone's children,
yeah.
this is just like a generic Midwestern mom being like, this is hateful and I don't like it when people are mean.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like,
exactly. Yes, I know. Yeah. That's exactly
And that's
what
really
doing.
What the problem is with these laws. It's yeah. not drag queens, it's people, it's meanness.
It's meanness.
You yeah, know?
Totally.
In any case, it's also heating up, as we said last week, to be an exciting labor month here in California.
Yeah, it's happening this week.
And it looks like LAUSD's, the strike yeah. is going to be on Tuesday.
And the SEIU, yeah, right?
Yeah, SEIU is the union organizing the strike. The teachers have been asked not to cross the picket line / lend support right. for the strike. So we'll see. That's hopefully they also respect the picket line.
Right, it's like the school staff that
yeah,
is
SEIU
really the
Yeah, SEIU is like a service workers union. Right, yeah. So it's like janitors right. and stuff like that. But yeah, the city has not met them anywhere close to their demands. And so it sounds no. like Tuesday, it sounds like the strike is intended to be 3 days.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But a work stoppage here in LAUSD, which is, by the way, a huge school district. I think it's the largest school district in the country, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah. yeah. I think it's even bigger than New York City's because it covers... like
yeah I mean
all sorts so of many, outlying yeah, right, areas yeah, exactly. it's not just right. LA City, it's an LA County school district basically
yeah, yeah.
So I think so we'll see what happens mm-hmm. but I do love when there's labor action in LAUSD because I feel like the school district here is kind of a mess and because of that always has a bad rap, and I like to see an opportunity for the labor movement here to shine.
Yes,
you know?
Same.
Meanwhile, we barely have a banking update for you, even though we talked about that all of last week, because we don't understand finances. But we do know a few things, which is it just seems like every bank is in sort of trouble.
Yeah.
Not the kind of trouble where it's like 2008, or at least they keep saying that in the paper. Who knows if they know.
Right.
But it's like UBS bought Credit Suisse the other day.
Oh, yeah. I saw something about Credit Suisse.
And like, you know, their like First Republic Bank had to get like a $30 billion lifeline. Like, it's not looking great.
No.
And there's a lot of conversation about raising the FDIC insurance cap. Liz Warren has actually been hitting the airwaves in favor of that. She said, though, that along with doing that, because obviously there's a lot of small businesses that need more than $250,000 in yeah. their accounts to pay meet payroll and stuff like that. But she was like, there need to be penalties for the people that caused these crashes, which is, I think, yeah. where we often fail to take action.
Yeah.
So they're talking about lifting the cap on that. But they're also not talking about...
Well, we're not going to have penalties for these people.
No. They're not talking about the thing that would actually stop this from happening.
Yeah.
Which is not, punishing people for crashing the bank
not
sector.
Not one person from 2008 got penalized nope. in any specific way.
Some of them just got golden parachutes.
Totally.
I want to be paid.
Why haven't
to
we?
Go
I was
away.
About to... I just said, why didn't we get into banking?
I too, could be really bad at banking. No for one sure. could be worse at banking than me.
Yeah.
So
you should be the CEO.
I should be the CEO of a large bank.
Gigantic bank. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Why was I not running Credit Suisse?
I don't know.
Which, by the way, Credit Suisse is my favorite giant bank because their name sounds so silly when you say it in English. Because it is Credit Suisse. It's not Credit Suisse or Credit. Like, I had a friend who temped there for a while, and every time she said it, I just like burst into laughter because it sounded so funny. Because it just sounds so precious.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
In any case. But the world is also falling apart anyway. And
I just love the French.
The French are doing it right. And you won't catch me trying to hang out with the French. But you will definitely catch me being impressed with their labor politics.
Yeah.
Because so they proposed raising the retirement age there.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
To 64,
by the way. From 62. The sanitation workers went on strike. It's like piles of garbage are everywhere in Paris right now, and they're burning the piles.
Aren't
of
the
garbage.
Yellow vests coming back?
Yeah, I think. The Gilets Jaunes are back in the streets. Mm-hmm. There's piles of garbage burning everywhere. It smells terrible, which says to me that it smells like New York City smells on a regular day. Because the piles of garbage that they're showing pictures of are piles of garbage you would find on any given Tuesday in New York.
Listen, it's been a while since I've been to Paris, but I actually sort of remember there being a certain smell in Paris. So it might actually smell really bad.
But that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I feel like the smell I associate with Paris is more of like a dog shit smell than a garbage smell. Like New York City smells of garbage.
It does.
Paris smells of dog shit.
Feces, sure.
Yeah, feces, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every city has its own scent, you know?
It really does.
Yeah. But I think now they might have...
I love this. Do all of this.
Go on strike.
Hello?
Whatever your job is. I don't even know.
Just
whoever you are.
Shut it down. Shut the country down.
Shut the country down. Whatever country. The one you're in.
Right? We've been trying to shut this one down for some time.
Need to hear from us. And you know, you can't. Things don't work without the people.
Things don't work without the people.
No,
that's it.
That's don't let their militarized pro-work bullshit get you down.
Yeah.
You know, it was militarized today. Was the streets of Los Angeles because the fucking marathon.
God.
I am in favor of healthful activities as much as the next person.
Sure. Can we just run around a track like 17,000 times or something?
A ring around downtown? I mean, run the freeways. I don't take those. Like, do anything.
Sure.
But like, to bisect the city in half in a city where, like, listen, the New York City Marathon is exciting, but also does cut a lot of the city up.
Yeah.
The thing is, everyone gets around underground in New York City. So it's not actually that big a deal because you still can get around to where you need to go. Because in general, the marathon is happening above ground.
Right, right.
The problem in LA is there's no alternative.
Right.
You can't, there's not a secret tunnel that gets you below sunset.
No. Well, and here's the other thing. And I may have said this after I ran the half marathon last year, because I was part of the problem last year.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we've had varying different routes. And some of them affect traffic worse, I think, than others do. And I think the one that they're using now probably affects it worse than any of them because it goes the whole east-west, you know, of the city.
They stopped doing that briefly, and then they brought it back.
And what I would like to say about that is a person who did run it last year. And look, maybe if you are a person who has flown in to do this as like a destination marathon, which I think people probably do because Los Angeles is a big city, then maybe you would think that this route is cool because it runs through Hollywood. But if you are actually on that route, running from essentially Dodger Stadium through to West Hollywood on either Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard, it is a fucking dump.
Yes. This is not the most beautiful version of LA.
I could think of infinity routes through Los Angeles that would all be far more lovely than the one that they are running right now.
I know. And that route also just inconveniences us more
It's disgusting.
Yeah. No, it's a disgusting route.
It's a disgusting route. There's not one beautiful thing that happens on that route.
No, but one thing that happens to the rest of us is that we all get stuck on our various sides of town and we can't see our friends.
That's right. Yeah.
It's the one time, though, where living in, like, whatever, the, like, flats of Hollywood
is not great.
No, I would say it's superior because you can get to the farmer's market.
Oh, that's true. You can, right.
If you're a rich person in LA.
If you're north of Sunset, then you have to live in your home.
You can't have milk until it's over.
That's
right, But you can have all the fresh vegetables you want if you live in the poor part of Hollywood. So at least we have that.
That's true.
One day of year. The one day of the year where we get to feel superior.
Mm-hmm.
That's the news this week. Next week, we will have the inimitable Carla Nordstrom.
I'm so excited.
We'll be posting on Tuesday, so
know
that to yourselves as you get excited. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until then.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Bye.
Bye.